Welcome to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church. We're living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, Father. Good morning, precious Son. Oh, my God. Good morning, anointed Holy Spirit. God, you are. And besides you, there is no other. God, you are. You can speak to the wind and the waves, oh my God, and call peace be still. You can bring down the greatest of armies, God, and come out unscathed, oh my God. You are great and mighty. You are my heart's desire, God. And I worship you this morning, Father. I just want to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Be with us today, God. Strengthen us today, God. Lift us up today, God. Keep us in your care today, God, because we need you. This earth needs you. This world, this country, oh God, needs you. This state, this city needs you. We need you in Savannah, Georgia, God. We need you from one end of this earth to the other. Bless your people everywhere, God. And lift us up, Father, as we lift you up before men. Because you said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. So we're lifting you up this morning, God, that men might see and might come in, relinquish authority of their lives to you. Understand, God, no matter what it looks like, sounds like, or feels like, no matter how hard it may be going for them right now, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, and that you are able to keep us from falling. You are able to supply our every need according to your riches and glory. We pray for health and healing where there's sickness. We pray for counseling, God, where minds are confused. We pray to the Lord of hosts to rain down angels upon us, oh God. Oh God, our God. We say amen. And amen. Jesus, 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 how I trust him. Lord, how I prove him at his word. Yes. Jesus, Jesus, my precious, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace, oh, for grace. Hallelujah. Oh, for grace. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for grace. To trust him more. Come on, say hallelujah with me this morning. Come on, can you trust God this morning? You know it takes grace, the grace of God, to help us to trust him even the more. It takes God to help our faith be strong in Him. It takes God to do anything that we need to do, anything that we want to do. It takes God. Anything that's put before you, it takes God. There is nothing or no one that exists without the help of God. Amen. Come on, give Him some glory this morning. Give Him some glory. Amen. Amen. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Come on, say it with me. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Get your day started right. Good morning, people of God. We will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Our soul shall make her boast in the Lord our God. The humble, come on humble, shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord our God with me. Come on and magnify Him with me. Let us exalt His very name together. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Rhema CFM Virtual, our virtual community church. Good morning to you, you and you, to our covenant partners, to our membership at large throughout this earth. Good morning, Rhema. Good morning, people of God. To all of you, our supporters, our encouragers, listen, we're here. We're here to spread the gospel, to preach the word of God, to understand God for ourselves, because He already understands us clearly. He knows all about us. Amen. We're here, oh God, fostering an atmosphere of true worship, reaping souls for Christ, and empowering the people of God. We want to empower you to live in excellence. How? Through outreach, teaching, and fellowship. Listen, we will live each day in excellence. We can only do it through Jesus Christ, that we might walk in expectation of the salvation of the Almighty God. Somebody say, living in excellence? You ought to reply, we walk in expectation. Come on, give God some glory with me right now. Hallelujah. Rhema, virtual church, listen. We're here this morning because God allowed us to be here. We are praying this morning because God imparts prayer into our spirit. We're lifting our hands in praise because we love the Almighty God and we honor Him with a hallelujah. If you come on and honor Him with a hallelujah, it's the highest praise you can give Him. He's the great I am. He is God, and besides Him, there's no other. Yes, yes, come on. Come on, give it to Him. He is worthy, I tell you. He is worthy. He woke you up this morning. Even if your alarm clock went off this morning, you didn't have to be able to hear it. Come on, somebody. Do you understand who God is? Even if, my God, you were able, oh my God, to come through the storms and the rains, you didn't do it because of you. You came out because He said you would come out. Come on, God. Thank you, Lord. We're praying mightily for our brothers and sisters, our families, our loved ones. Oh, my God, who were in the path of Ian, who had to be, oh, God, sustained by God. For those who have lost their lives, we give God glory for the families, and we pray for the families. We pray that God will bring them through, even for the loss of homes. The wreckage, oh my God, that God would come through. Hallelujah. We give Him glory this morning, y'all. We give Him honor this morning. Amen. Oh my God, when God turns that thing from your direction, it doesn't mean stop praying. It means pray even harder because you have the opportunity to continue the prayer. Wherever that thing is sitting right now, oh my God, we're praying. Whatever's coming behind it, God, we're already praying and asking You to be merciful, Father. You see, the hurricanes didn't just start in our time. The storms of life have been raging. Oh, my God. The waters have been separating. You know, as I saw where the waters had been, had receded, had been pushed back. Oh, my God. I thought of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and they say it was impossible. Is God going to have to keep showing himself to us over and over again? He pushed back those waters. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He did it before, and I'm telling you, he can do it again. God is a God of honor. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But he's also a God, oh my God, of our refuge. He's also the God, oh my God, who, oh my God, seeks order from his people. Come on, y'all. Thank you, God. We ask him to have mercy. We ask him to have mercy. We ask him to have mercy. Thank you, Lord. We don't know why God does what God does in every situation. Sometimes in any situation. But we just got to continue to trust him. And sometimes we become fearful in these things. We become apprehensive and hesitant in these things. But what we cannot do is allow fear. Fear cannot exhaust your faith. Don't allow fear to exhaust your faith. Still believe him. No matter what it looks like, sounds like, or feel like, fear cannot exhaust your faith. You got to hang on and hold tight to God's unchanging hand so that fear cannot exhaust your faith. Do you hear me? When it seems rough and tough, oh my God, if my brothers and sisters in the, oh my God, in the carnage of Ian can hear this word this morning, fear cannot exhaust your faith. You had to move out, but you had to keep going. Listen, fear cannot exhaust your faith this morning. Oh my goodness, you've got to hang on in there. Listen, fear cannot exhaust your faith. Yes, some things are fearful to us, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. And sometimes that power has to come by way of how we respond, by way of how we react. Come on, people. Thank you, Lord God. Fear cannot exhaust your faith. You're worried and you're scared because you're going to lose everything. But oh, to see Jesus. Listen, you're worried and you're fearful because your house might not be there when you return. But oh, so many times, Lord, I bless you. The people stand and they say, and their homes look like matchbooks, matchsticks torn up, popsicle sticks torn down. And they say, but I thank God that I'm still here. I have a chance to start over, you see. Fear cannot exhaust your faith. Sometimes we become so fearful of how things are going. We're afraid to step out, you see. Don't let fear, that thing, cause you to back up. Let me give you Isaiah 41, 8 through 10 this morning. The word of God says here, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I, God, have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you, Jacob, Israel, whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not. Oh, my goodness. He declares and decrees who you are to him. And then he encourages here. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I, God, will help you. I, God, will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen. Jacob, Israel, you don't have to be fearful because every army, if you go back and read in that 41st chapter of Isaiah, every army that comes against you, every enemy that comes seeking you, listen, they won't be able to touch you. Come on, God. You, I took from the ends of the earth and called from his father's corners. God, I saying, I sought you out. You are my child. And I'm saying to you, I have chosen you and not cast you off, no matter what it looks like, sounds like, or feels like. No matter what storms come, what enemies rise up, no matter what armies come against you, I have chosen you. I have not cast you off. No matter whether the storms in this life are raging, I have chosen you. I have not cast you off. He has not left us. You hear, Florida, God has not left you. Listen, Carolinas, God has not left. I have chosen you. I have not cast you off. These storms are going to come. These winds are going to blow. Some things are going to happen. Listen, my God, when you come home and you find a tree laying across your home from one end to the other, I have chosen you. I have not left you. Fear cannot exhaust your faith. You see, God is building up our faith right here. He's imparting into us something to help us remain faithful. You see, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear cannot exhaust your faith. Let's look at the word fear. Let's look at that word fear. We hear it so much. We use it so loosely. But let's look at that word fear. Fear can either be a noun or it can be a verb. You see, a noun, a person, place, or thing. Fear can be a thing. Fear can be a person if you let it, because it can take on a persona and an image of who you are. It is a verb. That means there's some action sometimes to fear, what you're feeling. Fear, a distressing emotion. This is it as a noun, as a thing that exists. And it's aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Anything that's making you feel uncomfortable can bring that distressing emotion of fear. Whether the threat is real or imagined, my God, the feeling or condition of being afraid, that's fear. And as a verb, to feel apprehensive or uneasy. Fear, a distressing emotion, distressing, extreme. Oh my God, something that worries us, causes anxiety. Oh my gosh, can you imagine the anxiety, the feeling of fear, the emotion in the people as that storm is approaching? Come on, God. Oh, Lord, but fear cannot exhaust your faith. You still have got to believe enough to say, but let me move out of its path. Because God already said, oh, my God, I am your God. I will strengthen you. No matter what happens, I will help you. No matter how this turns out, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So somebody is saying, well, what about those lives that were lost? Listen, as fear may have tried to come upon them, if they were in the Lord, you see, my God, that he wrapped them up, because to be absent from the body, he wrapped up their spirit in a place of safety, you see, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. My God. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And it reminds us of this. When fear is trying to exhaust our faith, the word of God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, my God, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, if you do that, y'all, not be anxious, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving to the Father, let your request be made known to him. And it says, and the peace of God, that's where the peace overrides the fear, overtakes the anxiety. The peace of God, which surpasses all, God, understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm a little warm here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, do not be anxious about anything, it says, but in everything, in the storms of life, when the things are happening, when you've lost your job, it says, don't be anxious about it. If there's going to be a layoff, don't you get anxious. Don't you get fearful. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with that, don't get anxious because your child is wandering out there. It says, but by in everything, by prayer and supplication, don't get anxious because you don't think your money's going to pad out to pay those bills. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, but with thanksgiving, go ahead and tell the Lord thank you. Go ahead when you're praying, when you're fasting, when you're pleading with God. Go ahead and tell him thank you with thanksgiving. God, I thank you now for the outcome. I thank you now for what it is now. I see the storm coming. I see the waters raging. I see it overtaking. But God, I thank you for the now. Because if I can thank you for the now, it means I'm safe and I'm secure right now. Fear cannot exhaust your faith this morning. And the peace of God, if you go ahead, let your request be made known. God, I want to survive this thing. God, I need to come through. God, I need you to cover me, to keep me, to hold my home, to hold my family. It says with thanksgiving, God, I thank you now for keeping my home, keeping my family. Keeping us strong. God, whatever comes, I thank you that you're God. Besides you, there is no other. Fear cannot exhaust my faith. I might be fretful right now, God. I might be a little anxious on anxiety, dealing with some anxiety, God. But it's not going to exhaust my faith. It's not going to exhaust, to drain of strength or energy. It's not going to pull it out of me. It's not going to wear me out to a place of fatigue where I cannot move. I cannot go. I cannot think. I cannot pray. I cannot cry out to exhaust. It is not going to use me up or consume me completely. It is not going to expend the whole of myself, my mind, my body, and my soul. It is not going to, God, draw out all that is essential, because fear cannot exhaust my faith. Because while fear is trying to drain me, trying to pull everything out of me, I'm going to run and not be weary. I'm going to walk and not faint. I'm going to mount up on wings as eagles, God. Oh my God. Fear can be exhausting, but it can never use up your faith. Listen, not if Jesus is your sword and shield, not if he is your rock. Oh my God, in a weary land. Listen, it may try with all its might. But Romans 8:31 says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? What is this? What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, this is the wonderful thing. Who can ever be against us? Fear can't be against us. Fear can't take us out. You see, whether it's a real thing or an imagined thing, because so many people are walking around in fear in their mind, in fear in their spirit. Oh my God, they may not even have gone over a cliff, but the fear of going over the cliff has them excited, you see, has them thinking this way, thinking that way. They may never have gone into the forest, but the fear of what's in the forest is causing them, you see, not to even venture that far. They may, oh my God, have never driven across a bridge, but the fear of the bridge collapsing, you see, will cause them not to go across. Oh, whether the fear, whether the thing, oh my God, is imagined or real, fear cannot exhaust our faith. You see, my God, because therefore, even when we become afraid or apprehensive about things, we are scared to move forward. Fear cannot stop you in your venture. It cannot stop you in that business that God planted in you. Fear cannot. You see, sometimes there are so many unborn, oh my God, unborn businesses. So many visions left to die because of fear. A fear of the unknown, they say. A fear of going forward because you have a fear of failure. But that fear even cannot exhaust your faith. If you stand on the promises of God, if you believe that God is for you and nothing can be against you, then fear cannot exhaust your faith. So if the joy, listen, fear cannot exhaust our faith. It cannot exhaust our trust or our belief, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if the joy of the Lord, which keeps us when fear weakens us, can bring us back to a status of strength and perfection, the joy of the Lord can be our strength. What then is the joy? What then is the joy of the Lord? What is God's joy all about? Because it has to be that which does not allow fear to exhaust our faith. It does not allow fear to dictate who we are, to dictate where we'll be. It does not, you see, that joy that God gives us, that joy that God has, it overrides those things when our faith is in Him. Oh my God, let's look at faith. Oh my God, let's look at faith. Let's look at faith. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Faith, faith, faith. Faith is a thing. It's a noun. Faith can be a verb. My God, it's a believe. It's believe what we do. Faith, confidence or trust in a person or thing. Confidence that when you turn that key in your car, it's going to crank. Because it's a brand new car. Didn't I say something to you all recently about seeing, what if I saw a Mercedes on the side of the road? I declare and decree, y'all. It wasn't a few days later, I saw this nice Mercedes SUV sitting on the side of the road. And I just went into prayer for them. But listen, faith, belief that is not based on proof. That's the one y'all going to have to deal with right there. Belief that's not based on proof, not based on proof, not based on what we can see, not based on what is tangible, you see. Faith, the obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, engagement, etc., etc., etc. Faith, belief in God, in the doctrines or teachings of religion. Now, I want y'all to look at this last part here. Christian theology says this about faith, that it is the trust in God and in His, God's promises, as made through God's Son, Jesus Christ, and through God's Word, the Scriptures, by which humans are justified or saved. Faith. Belief that is not based on proof. I want y'all to marinate on that one. That's faith. Prove it. Show me. We want to be able to touch it. You believe in God. Oh my goodness, for your family's salvation, your son, your daughter, your sister, your brother. You believe in God for their salvation. You believe in God. You can't see it, not by the way they live. And you believe in God for your mother, your father's faith. You can't see it by the way they're living. You can't see the evidence. But hey, it's belief that is not based on proof. You might not be able to see it, but you can't see what God sees. You don't know what God knows. You don't know what's in the heart of a man. Come on. Unless they open their mouth and too much defilement comes out, because they say, "Out of the heart, the mouth speaks." Listen, faith. Faith. Oh my goodness. Let's look at. Oh my God. Faith means. Oh my goodness. The obligation of loyalty. How much faith you have in God. How loyal are you to God? Listen, God is a God of faith. He's loyal to us. Ah. He keeps his word to us. Faith, belief in God or in his doctrine, his teachings, what he expects of us. Faith, all of that comes together in faith. Oh my goodness. But we're talking about fear not exhausting our faith, not wearing it out. Not causing us to be so fatigued and tired that we're tired of doing right. We got to hold on to what? Faith. God and his joy, you see, are everlasting to everlasting. And that joy of the Lord that we talked about, which is the gladness of heart, comes from knowing God, you see. That's that part of that faith that will not allow fear to exhaust that very faith, because you have God's joy. The joy of the Lord, which is the gladness of heart, comes from what? Knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's that Trinity all over again. Knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us understand who God is so that fear cannot exhaust our faith. When we know, you can't believe in something that you don't know. You can't believe in who God is if you don't understand who God is. Know God, abide in Christ, and ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because nothing, absolutely nothing, happens without him. When we abide in Christ, when we know God, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to learn him and know him in every aspect. We make sure that we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. He will cause us to make the right decision. He will cause our behaviors and communication with him to begin to change, you see, begin to err, my God, in a place of faithfulness, in a place of strength. You see, when your faith is built up, that joy of the Lord becomes your strength. God's joy strengthens us. Strengthens us, gladness of heart. God has a gladness of heart, and he wants us to abide in that very thing. His joy and strength are everlasting. God and his joy are everlasting to everlasting. He cannot be exhausted. He cannot be worn out. He cannot lose his strength or his energy. Listen, he cannot be consumed or used up, you see? So that's why it behooves us to join forces with the Almighty, our God. He's never drained. And if he's never drained, that means that his supply doesn't run out. And continual is his supply to our supply. He said it in Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of glory, his glory in Christ Jesus. That's it. When Jesus had to face the cross and endure the trial that was set before him, how did he face it? Faith. Faith. Faith over fear. Do you understand how fearful a regular man would have been facing what Christ had to face? It had to be faith over fear. His fear could not exhaust his faith in his Father. The pain that he, oh my God. Go back to fear. Go back to fear. Go back to fear. Go back. Bring that definition back up, Elder. A distressing emotion aroused by impending, Christ was facing his death, impending danger. Evil was all around him. Can you imagine? He, oh my God, if it was us, we'd have been saying, Lord, every time I try to do good, evil is on every hand, my God. Evil, pain, whether the threat is real or imagined, people. Listen, fear did not exhaust Christ's faith. Oh my goodness, fear becomes a thing of apprehension. You're not going to step out and do what you told God you were going to do. Christ told God, they made a bond. They made an agreement that he was going to come and he already knew what he had to go through. But I want us to understand this. I want us to think about those people in the wake of that storm. I'm going to tell you, that storm was not a part of this message this morning. But in the midst of that storm, can you imagine? Even if you thought you were prepared, that when the thing came upon you, you became fearful. You were running for your life, getting out of the way. Think about you in your car on the highway, and you see a transfer truck coming behind you. It's out of control. There's traffic in front of you. There's nowhere to go. And oh my God, the fear of that thing hitting you is overtaking you. Do you understand what Christ dealt with? It was like a transfer truck headed for him, but he stood his ground. Oh my gosh, and even when his disciples tried to move some of those things out of his way, Peter wanted to chop off ears. Christ said, pick that man's ear up and put it back. Oh my God, can you understand that he was facing the biggest fear that we would have faced in our lives? But guess what's bigger than that fear? Guess what would have been bigger than that? We would have needed to be afraid. We needed to be apprehensive. We needed to be facing, oh my God, realizing we are facing impending danger. If Christ had not stepped in front of that transfer truck, that thing full of sin, and blocked it for us, stopped it for us, take the hit for us, we would be in impending danger. You see, he came to take us out of that place of danger. He came so that fear would not exhaust our faith. He came and he gave his life so that you can come out of that place of sin. Come out of that stuff you're doing. Come on out of that place where God can't reach you. Oh my God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Pay attention, people. We've talked about this thing so many times, about the joy of the Lord being our very strength. That means that the source of our strength, of us not being fearful, not being so scary to a point where we can't believe God. Oh my goodness. This means that we have gladness of heart because we trust God. With that gladness of heart comes that peace that surpasses all understanding. Back in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, again, be anxious for nothing. Don't be worrying about stuff. But in prayer and supplication, don't leave out any part. With thanksgiving, giving thanks unto the Lord, tell God what you request of him, what it is you need of him to do. And the peace of God. That's it. Which surpasses. It does surpass. It's more than anything we can understand. We may not be able to understand why the storms keep tearing up on the earth. We don't have to understand it. But we can have peace in the midst of the storm. Because it's guarding our heart. I told you. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's gladness of heart. It's gladness of heart. It's gladness of heart. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because so much of what we fear is in our heart and in our mind. But it says the peace of God, that gladness of heart from God, that joy which is his soul, God, his joy which is our strength, it is above. It's way beyond. Surpasses means to be above and beyond. It surpasses all that we can see, think, understand, all that we even think we know. It surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Thank you, God. We almost done. Listen. when Christ faced the cross, he had to endure that thing from his beginning to his end. I want us to think about that. When we come into the earth, we don't know what our future is. We don't know everything that's going to take place. We don't know the fears and the dangers that are ahead of us. Our grandparents and our mother's parents used to pray, "Lord, keep us in dangers, seen and unseen." Some things we don't see it coming, but some things we know it's on the way. But do you understand that as we progress in life, we just found out about Ian, what, some weeks ago as it developed? But understand, Christ already knew everything that was going to transpire in his life. He already knew that he would be denied by one of his tight boys, his ace, his ride or die, as we call it, his BFF. He already knew he was going to be betrayed by one who even helped to feed. He already knew, my God, that the very people that he was trying to save would turn on him. He knew this. We don't know everything we have to face, but if we face it with God, fear cannot exhaust our faith. We got to face it with God. Don't let the fear of this earth, the fear of this life, the things that are coming, the things that are happening, even in the midst of your storm right now, even in the midst of whatever you're dealing with right now, your fear cannot exhaust your faith. You trust God. Believe with your heart. Psalms 37:3 says this: trust in the Lord and do good. You keep doing good, y'all. Trust God and do good. Don't you turn back. Don't you turn away from what's good. Watch your mouth. Watch your mind. Watch your spirit. You see, sometimes we talking so much, we talking the wrong thing. Sometimes we seeing so much, we looking in the wrong place. But it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Do what's right. When you trust in the Lord, you will do good. When you have faith in God, you will do good. You will dwell in the land and feed on it. Don't even say your own faith. Feed on his faithfulness. Get all you can get from God. Get it all in it. So when, oh my God, when these things come, Christ was consumed with the power of God. He was God, okay? He already was able to sustain and to withstand some things that we could never withstand. We don't have a chance. Not without him. Not without him. Don't you let anybody fool you and tell you that God is not real. Don't you let anybody trick you and scare you, because they're saying even now, if there was this God, why is he letting these things happen in the earth? Don't you let anybody cause your faith in God to dwindle. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land with peace that surpasses all understanding, and feed on God's faithfulness. He's not going to change on us. It's us who keep changing on him. It's us. Because this last scripture, Hebrews 13:8, says it all. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Let them marinate on that for a minute, Elder. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He had enough in him to come for you. He came that you might have a right to the tree of life. He, Jesus, he came that you might be saved. He came, oh my God, that you might have life, because you were dead, walking dead. Have life and have it what? More abundantly. That you be more blessed. That you'd have more peace. that you'd have more understanding. Be careful of how you don't represent him at all times, because the enemy is using that to weaken your very faith. Keep your eyes stayed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's God. That's God. The author and finisher of our faith. He writes our faith. And he causes our faith to sustain. My God, if you walk away from God, you walk away from everything. Everything that gives you faith. Everything that causes you to continue to believe. Belief that is not based on proof. Christian theology, one more time, says this about faith: the trust in God and God's promises as made through Christ and the scriptures, by which humans, that's me, I'll be human, that's you, are justified or saved. We're not always right. We hadn't always been right. But Christ came and justified our sin. Oh my God, did y'all hear that? He came and justified us. He came and put us back before the Father. He came and said, hey, they're a wretch, they're a mess, they're human, they're flesh, they're doing this, they're doing that. But Father, let me go and bring them back to you. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Come on, give God a praise, y'all. Fear is not going to exhaust my faith. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Fear cannot exhaust your faith this morning. I want you, if you're there, I want you to think on the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. Think on the goodness of Jesus and all, thank you, Lord, he's done for you. Think on the goodness of Jesus and all, I'm telling you, he's done for you. Because it's God. It is God who's able to keep you from falling. Christ can present you faultless. Amen. Amen.